radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
Okay, the Sabres defeated the St. Louis Blues 4-3 in a shootout last night at KeyBank Center, ending a seven-game losing streak. Johan Larson, Evan Rodriguez, Connor Sheary each scored in regulation. Sam Reinhart scored the deciding goal in the shootout. Carter Hutton made 30 saves. The Buffalo Buttes fell to the Minnesota Whitecaps 2-1 in overtime yesterday in the Isabel Cup Finals. Amy Menke scored in the first, and Lee Steklund scored 49 seconds into overtime for the victory and was named the WNHL Playoffs Most Valuable Player. And former Butte Amanda LaVille made 22 saves. Emily Falzer scored in the first for the Buttes, only goal, and Nicole Hensley made 28 saves. Tune into One Bills Live today from noon to 3 with John Murphy and WKBW's Joe Biscaglia for the latest on free agency, including the Bills signing offensive tackle LaAdrian Waddle, and to hear from newly signed Bills center Mitch Morse. The Dolphins have signed quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick to a 2-year, $11 million deal yesterday. This will be Fitzpatrick's 8th NHL franchise and his 3rd in the AFC East. Fitzpatrick spent the last two seasons in Tampa Bay, starting in 10 games. The UB Bulls men's and women's basketball teams were both victorious this weekend in Cleveland. The UB men defeating Bowling Green 87-73 for their second straight MAC championship win. They have now won 4 of the last 5 MAC championships. The Bulls are headed to Tulsa as they enter the NCAA tournaments as the number 6 seed with a 31-3 record. The UB women's team beat Ohio 77-61 to win the MAC championship to win their second MAC tournament title in school history. The Bulls made a season-high 13 three-pointers, and Sierra Dillard was named MAC tournament MVP. That's your sports update for today. I'm Andrew Peters along with Craig Rive back over to the Instigators. A couple good national days here, River. I think you dominate both of these categories. National Sloppy Joe Day.
I love Sloppy Joes.
Do you really?
With corn.
There you have it.
No, you.
Yeah, in the back they're saying with corn. What do you mean on the Sloppy Joe?
So you know how you know what Sloppy Joes are, right?
No, Craig. What's a Sloppy Joe? Of course I know what a Sloppy Joe is.
I don't know if everybody knows what Sloppy Joes is, but
Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe. That's my Adam Sandler for you.
Okay. That's
do you remember?
Great.
Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember Lunch Ladyland or whatever? What? You never. You
is that
were,
in a movie?
Might have been in the NHL.
That's
by
in
then.
A movie.
No, I think it's like Adam Sandler had like an album out when he was SNL and Billy Madison and
okay.
Whatever else he was acting like a donkey at the time.
But okay, I don't remember that, but the buns, the nice you know hot cross buns or whatever, you put them in the oven, you grill them up a little bit, and then put the Sloppy Joes on and. Whoosh, corn like
cream corn
not cream corn
okay
just normal corn yeah in the can
yep pop it open warm it do
yes,
warm
sir.
It up
yep Throw,
yeah
absolutely.
Warm it up okay all right well that sounds gross that being said I'm not a Sloppy Joe guy I can honestly say I don't know that I've ever had a Sloppy Joe. But
well,
I know
I'm going to tell you this because it's Sloppy Joe Day.
Like
I will be having Sloppy Joes today.
Is it a pulled pork sandwich?
No, you don't pick it up.
What do you mean you don't pick it up? This you don't pick up the Sloppy Joe?
Yeah.
What? Some people pick it up. I think some JJ's saying he picks it up. What do you eat it with? A knife and fork?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
Sloppy Joes. That's the whole point.
And another day that Craig would dominate at is it's National Awkward Moments Day. You don't get that? You can be sometimes awkward. It gets awkward sometimes. Like right now when you're about to go silent on the air right now. You about to go silent on me?
Nope.
No?
I'm here with you.
Okay. Well, that's an awkward moment
in itself.
I'm
tired of getting picked on by you. I'll tell you that, though.
Is that a regular
thing? That's going to stop.
Today?
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet handlebar mustache. Is that coming off today? Are you keeping that?
I might go. I'm thinking about going mustache.
You should go mustache. Shave off the gray parts at the bottom. Go get some jet black just for men and do that thing in.
Right? Why? Why would I need jet black?
Well, that's all you've been talking about all morning is going. You're going to get some maybe some jet black or
yeah,
some of those
gonna,
just for
I
men.
I was going to, you know,
just the
clean
tips.
Up the tips there, but okay. I might go mustache.
Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet, Sabres yesterday, 5-4 shootout win over the, 4-3 shootout win over the St. Louis Blues yesterday. Ryan O'Reilly's return. We did talk about, the return and the welcome back and, you know, fans booing. And I was, you know, kind of kidding about taking phone calls. But I would love to hear, you know, what people, you know, how they still feel about Ryan O'Reilly and when he returned yesterday, because I do believe that some of that game yesterday and some of the Sabres' effort and energy came from, you know, a little bit of a moral victory, not losing to their former teammate. But I don't know how much of that you feel is relevant, but to me that was the first thing I thought of yesterday going into the game, because the game technically in the standings for the Sabres, it doesn't really affect them win or lose. And you know, the only thing I was trying to avoid was Ryan O'Reilly walking out of here after a huge night and a win. Yeah, I don't know which is worse.
I think that was important for this hockey team. There's no question about it. You did not want to, you know, listen, I mean, Ryan O'Reilly has had a fantastic season this year. There's no question about it. He should be very proud of what he's done in St. Louis. Their team is basically what Ryan wanted to go to. It's a more established team. They're older. They have a couple young guys, but the whole team, a lot of their team is very mature. And, you know, that's where he wanted to be. He didn't want to be part of a team where he would have had to collectively work and build something, which it's interesting. I thought that that's what Ryan O'Reilly was okay with when he signed a $52 million deal. Knowing that there is going to be some hiccups in this process moving forward. But listen, he didn't want to be here. That's okay. He's moved on. He's doing well. I'm happy for Ryan O'Reilly. I have no qualms, about him. He's a great hockey player, and you just don't want him coming into your city and basically kind of like throwing something in your face. So I think that the Sabres were up on this game. I think that there was a lot of nice hockey, a lot of great hockey that they can build off in that dressing room for the Sabres, and a huge, huge shootout win. Awesome goal by Jack, and even better by the game winner by Sam Reinhart. And this is some good stuff.
Speaking of good stuff, let's hear what Ryan O'Reilly had to say after the game.
You know, just not our best effort, and yeah, just weird. We weren't clean with our way we move the puck usually, and it's tough because that's a game we usually could have won if we just stuck to our game. And yeah, you know, it starts with myself too being better and leading that charge, but yeah, that's a tough one.
Oh boy, was that a courtesy? That had to have been courtesy. He did that for us here in the Instigators because he knows how much that drives us nuts. Just it starts with myself.
He totally did that for the Instigators. There's no question whatsoever. it starts with me.
That was one of the reasons why I wanted the Sabres to win so badly last night, was to see if Ryan O'Reilly would say it starts with myself. It always starts with myself.
Yeah.
Today's show starts with myself. I mean, how much pressure can one guy put on himself?
Yeah.
All right. Awkward moment number two. Good talk. So I have a good tweet here, Riv. We were talking about Alex Nylander earlier. Richard tweets in because we did our buy-sell trade on Nylander.
Yep.
And it was, he's in the opening night lineup. And you and I both talked about how maybe he could be used as a piece in a deal that Botchel could use to acquire maybe a more advanced or more developed player. 25, 26-year-old guy with term on his contract, maybe a bona fide second-line player that you don't have to wait a few more years for Nylander to turn into. Richard tweets us, oh, Richard, for those wanting to trade him, let me tell you a story about a guy named Dylan Strome. Don't give up on players under 23. Are we supposed to be gun-shy of trading players because, you know, a guy gets moved and has success with a former teammate that he had in junior playing on the Hawks? You know, like, the Hawks might be out of the playoffs, but they're still a pretty good squad, and DeBrincat's a good player. And Strome and DeBrincat have had chemistry since junior, and I'm sure that was probably part of the reason why the Hawks went out and got him. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to figure that out, but are we supposed to be nervous about every player we trade away under the age of 23 for an asset? Like, Gouley's a good example of that, too. I mean, you trade a young guy away where, you know, you're not sure if he's there yet or not.
Listen,
for a guy that is more advanced right now.
I mean, I'm going to have to somewhat agree with Richard here. I think that he makes a very good point. I mean, in today's game, So back when I played and when you played, which I'm not that far removed from the game, but when I grew up, teams took time to develop their players. We didn't have kids that were 18 and 19 in the game. There was maybe one or two. But now it seems to be there's a huge influx of very young talent because you have, your higher paid guys, and then you have to kind of budget out that cap. There's a lot of young players in the National Hockey League. And do they deserve to be in the National Hockey League? Some, yes. Mostly, yes. But there's some that aren't. And they could use more time in the minors to develop until they're ready. Back when I played, players most likely came up in their third year of the American Hockey League, and then they were given an opportunity to play. But now a lot of players are being rushed. And I can agree with Richard that, listen, I mean, do we want to give up? We're not giving up on Alex Nylander, but you always are trying to make your team better. And if you have a certain asset like a Nylander or someone like that, you always are trying to make your team better. You're not giving up on any player, but if you feel that there's a player that can you can trade to make your team better, you're going to do that. But I would be very, very nervous of trading young players because I think I just remember going through it. At 20 years old, I was nowhere near the same player as what I was 3 years later at age 23. I was a very, very, very different player, mentally, physically, emotionally, everything. And I just think that sometimes we just need to take a step back and allow these players to grow in to themselves, and you'll get a better understanding. When you're 23, 24, 25, if you're still unsure of what you see and what you like, then I think that you should be moving on from the player.
Instigators, Andrew Peters and Craig Ray. Don't forget, Darren Dreger going to join us in about 10 minutes. And one of the things, I mean, we can talk about it right now. I don't know if anybody saw last night, but the Flyers lost a goal after being awarded a goal due to first ever double challenge. Like, there was a double challenge. So Giroux scored a goal, and it was called off for goaltender interference. The Philadelphia Flyers challenged the call, and it's overturned. So now Giroux has the goal. Philly doesn't lose a timeout. Penguins then challenged the goal, okay, for offside, and it's overturned again. So ends up being no goal. So, I mean, this is the first time we've ever seen this, and that's why I think it's big news. And this to me, it just takes a matter of time before, I don't know if this is confusion or just actually getting it right, but to me, it seems like a whole bunch of pausing of a game and a whole bunch of confusion and back and forth with review and the refs to get a goal right when all we're trying to do is add goals to this game. All we're trying to do is add a goal. Like we want more scoring, but now we're going to add these reviews where you can counter. I get it. They got it right, obviously, but it just is so stupid that this is what you go to get a goal or to not get a goal. So,
Did they get it right?
This is why I love human.
Did they get it right?
Don't give me that. Did they get it right?
Did they get it right?
This is why I love human error
in
sports.
You.
Are you really with me?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm going to tell you this.
Yeah, they got it right. But
I'm going to tell you this, and this is never going to be returned. It's never going to go back. But I like the human error factor of the game. It's a fast game. It's a beautiful game. Refs have the toughest job on the ice, and they're going to make mistakes. And listen, I mean, I love the human error of it. I would love and prefer them to make these calls. And, if your foot's offside by half an inch, then I'm okay with that. But that being said, they got it right, Petey. I mean, this system is in place for them to get it right, and they did get it right. And the first thing when I thought when you told me that we were going to talk about this is how long did it take?
Yeah, see, that I don't know.
So it got challenged. Okay, Giroux scores, and they go and look at it because goaltender interference.
Yep. So that probably took a couple minutes. Let's call it, even if it's a couple minutes, and then you go back I mean, it's a 4 or 5 minute delay.
Yeah.
I believe it. I mean, I don't even need to see the actual time, but if I were to guess from the time the goal was scored to the time puck dropped again, I'm going to guess 5 minutes. If somebody out there knows, we'll ask Darren Dreger if he knows the actual number, but we'll do some digging at the break and see if we can come up with how long it held the game up for. But there have been reviews that have held up the game for so long, and we don't need to sit here and bore
everybody. Are you okay with that?
No, I'm not okay with that. You know what?
Are the people in Buffalo okay with that?
What do you mean?
What I mean is
that a shot back to 1999?
You're very quick on your feet today there, Andrew. The reality is this is in place, so the debacle back in 99 will never happen again. Okay? That's why this is in place.
What happens? What happens when the Stanley Cup is scored or the goal is scored?
Yep.
The Stanley Cup is, you know, the players jump on the ice.
Yes, sir.
And all the gloves and helmets off. Are off. Okay?
Excellent.
And then, we're so happy we
and
won.
And not one player from the Buffalo Sabres leaves the bench with Lindy Ruff.
No.
But I'm saying going like this, and this is now we're talking about now, okay?
Modern day.
And Lindy Ruff is sitting there going, okay. Excellent. Thank you. Oh, his foot was in the crease.
Back on
and
the bench,
he can
boys.
Just sit there and let them. He's like, boys, it's no goal. Everybody just sit here. And he can allow everybody to on the other team.
That emotional crash would be amazing, wouldn't it? Be like
beautiful.
You think you just won the cup and then all
beautiful.
Of a sudden you got to go finish the
let
game.
Let me tell you something. This is in the game right now. So that situation, which is probably one of the worst situations in the history of the National Hockey League, never happens again like it did in 1999.
You want to grab a quick call before we go to?
Absolutely, yeah. Right.
We've been talking about Ryan O'Reilly's return. We didn't even throw out the call number because I wasn't really sure that we wanted to take calls on his return. But John in East Aurora found the number for the show and decided to give us a call. Let's see what John in East Aurora, he said, thoughts on the welcome back for Ryan O'Reilly. What do you got, John? John. Had to be true. Had to not be there. He said, thoughts on the need to welcome back Ryan O'Reilly. Well, if that was his question, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If the Sabres do it, question is why they do it. He doesn't deserve it. I agree with that. He wasn't worthy of it. You didn't need to do it. I thought it was so fitting that there was no video. It was just a, hey, welcome back, Ryan O'Reilly. And that was it. And fans could decide whether they wanted to react in positive or negative. So you do it because it's the classy thing to do for this particular player. Because with the way he left, if you don't do it, it looks like you're not doing it out of spite. So at the end of the day, I mean, you win by doing it. But again, damned if you do.
Why did he get traded from Colorado in the first place? Do you remember?
Was it contract? Yes, he wanted a contract.
Wasn't there a squabble between a few of the players on the team, too, and all that kind of stuff?
A word we learned when we came on to doing this business was allegedly.
Allegedly. There you go.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back with Darren Dreger right here, TSN Hockey Insider. He's at Darren Dreger on Twitter, and we'll get what we can from him. First question coming to him, though. Jeff Skinner contract talks. Where are they? When should we hear something? And do we hear something? Darren Dreger coming up next here on The Instigators, WGR Sports Radio 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
And Darren Dreger, normally not on Mondays, but we didn't have him on Friday, so he's going to bookend our week. He's going to start us off here on Monday, and I think he's doing double duty. You're going to finish us off too, Dregs, right, on Friday?
That's the plan, yeah. It's a big week for me. I'm really looking forward to it.
We're really looking forward to it, too. I know Riv was pumped when he found out you were coming on today because the first thing he wanted to ask was about, you know, any inside scoop on the Jeff Skinner conversation. And I apologize. I want to apologize on behalf of the Instigators for always feeling like we have to lead with this question. But it's probably the biggest news right now in Buffalo is, you know, when's Skinner going to sign?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge story. There's no question about that. I mean, all along, we've maintained, because the Buffalo Sabres and Jeff Skinner have maintained, that they want to get something done. They're working towards getting something done. Now, is it just the term? You know, is the annual average salary problematic from Jason Botterill's perspective? Well, there's something that is, you know, dragging this process along. But that shouldn't be misconstrued or misinterpreted that it's a negative. I still believe that these two sides do want to get something done. It's just as you creep closer to the end of the regular season, then you creep closer to July 1st, and then it becomes a bigger issue because Jeff Skinner would have to make a decision. But I still believe that both sides are fairly confident they are going to get something done here.
I'll tell you what you know, I don't know, if, like, take the information for what it's worth. I don't have an insider or anything. I spoke to someone the other day, and the comment they made about Skinner was he loves it here. I mean,
he
loves playing here. He's smiling around the rink, even like, you know, he's in not in a good mood. The team's losing, but I mean, he's a cheery guy. It's his personality. He's got a great personality. He loves his teammates. He loves, I think, playing with Jack. I think that's obvious. His success would speak to that. But he loves it here, and he plays that way. I mean, I know he's not the physical guy, but he is always moving. He's always going. He's a buzzsaw. And he plays like he loves being here. That's why I'm confident that this deal gets done.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you know, every time Jeff Skinner talks about the Buffalo Sabres, you know, he looks forward to the future, both his future and the future of the team. And he speaks glowingly of the young players that are, you know, coming into the organization or are playing right now. That doesn't sound like a guy who's unsettled or getting restless because his contract hasn't been, you know, fully looked after just yet. Again, you know, certain players, some guys are okay with a negotiation dragging on. That doesn't make it a negative thing. And I also believe that Jeff Skinner is keenly aware of the success that he's had in Buffalo and how good a fit he is with Jack Eichel. Why would you mess with that? So you allow your agent, in this case, Newport Sports, to do their work, and that's what they're doing, representing Jeff Skinner. But I still believe that, like you guys, they're going to get something done.
It's amazing, too. Hey, Riv's about to say something. I just want to throw this to Riv. It's amazing, though. Hey, Riv, when we're so desperate for some information because Dregs, both sides have been so quiet, that we'll look for any tell by any comment. Yeah. And I believe, like, you know, when things are said, like, you know, he'll be good for us going forward. And, you know, when talking about Darlene and other young players, I believe in his mindset. I think he does feel like he's a Sabre for a long time.
Well, I hope he is because, you know, he's exactly what the ingredients that the Buffalo Sabres need. He's a feisty little guy that plays the game hard, that has had success scoring goals. He's going to play with Jack Eichel, who he's not even close to the tip of what Jack Eichel's going to do moving forward in the game because he's still young. That being said, when we're talking about this contract situation, you know, the fans, the people that are kind of like watching, we feel like it's dragging on. Probably not dragging on. They're in contacts. They're trying to get something done. Do you feel that they're in this negotiation where things are dragging on because of the second part of the season that Jeff Skinner's had? One goal in the last 15 games. You know, you look at his last 30 games, he hasn't really lit the lamp that much, but his first 30-some games, he was the hottest goal scorer in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jason Botterill is kind of like halting on things here?
No, I don't think so, Rev. I don't. I think that, you know, they've been going through this process with the same mindset of trying to get something done. And look, they talked before the start of the season and said, let's just get Jeff established here. You know, let's get him going and see whether or not it is a good fit. And then they got closer to Christmas and they basically said, all right, well, obviously he's a good fit. He's had a great first half of the regular season. You know, Jeff obviously made it clear to the Buffalo Sabres that he was interested in talking and negotiating a long-term extension. I think that Buffalo would love to get this deal done, but whatever the sticking point is, and I still believe it's term, you know, that's where the fight is at right now. And that's not unusual. It's not unusual. And I don't forecast Jeff Skinner, you know, pushing away at any point and saying, all right, this is, it's now bothering me and I don't want to have to deal with this until the end of the year. Or the flip side would be, I'm going unrestricted free agency because clearly we're not getting something done here. I don't get that sense, and I deal with Buffalo sources on a weekly basis. And when I checked in last week, that was the message that that I got. They understand that the fan base is getting antsy, but they do not. This is the Buffalo Sabres now. Don't want people thinking that they're less interested in getting a deal done with Skinner than they were perhaps a month or two ago.
Do you think term is something we're going to start to see being a sticking point for a lot of other teams and players? Because Riv brought up Matt Tkachuk earlier today, and he has him compared to a bunch of other players that have to sign contracts. You know, the term seems to be, you know, Austin Matthews' contract, I think, is the one that probably brings everybody out to thinking this way, because I thought we all would have assumed that it was an 8-year deal, lock it up, done, no big deal, it's over.
Right.
Well, the reality is...
Go ahead, Drex. No, go ahead, Drex.
Well, look, I think it depends on the age of the player, obviously. You know, your guy coming out of entry-level contracts now, provided he's in a position where he can make that sort of demand. You know, Austin Matthews wanted a 5-year deal. I think he wants to see how things develop moving forward with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And most importantly, he hit a grand slam. He's going to hit that grand slam again in 5 years because he's that elite superstar type of talent. But if you're a player like Jeff Skinner who's been down this path before, I think that 6, 7, 8 year makes a big difference. I don't think that there's any question of that. And if I look at the pending unrestricted free agents with the Columbus Blue Jackets, and I'll just dial in on Matt Duchene for just a second, I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Is it conceivable that Matt Duchene could get traded at the draft so that he can pick up the extra year? I think it all depends on where you're at, both from a birth certificate standpoint, but also where you're at in your career overall.
Were you kind of thinking the same thing?
Yes, very much. I you know, when we're talking about, and this was one of the questions that I wanted to lead into. I mean, with some of the restricted free agents that are available, that are going to be signing, everybody's talking about offer sheets and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Which,
you know, it'd be awesome if it happened, but it probably won't. I'm just probably sitting there thinking, who is in the toughest situation to sign a contract? Is it Mitch Marner? Is it Braden Point, or is it Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary? And when you look at Mitch Marner, they have their ceiling players in a Tavares and a Matthews. Point is in a situation where there's no way that they're going to sign him for more than Nikita Kucherov. And then in Calgary, you have Johnny Gaudreau and a Sean Monahan that are making just over $6 million. I mean, who's in the toughest situation to sign a contract?
Well, I mean, all the teams that you mentioned, I don't think there's any question about that. And I'd throw Winnipeg into that mix with Patrick Laine or Kyle Connor. You know, all of the salary cap teams are going to have an issue. And that includes the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, to some degree, the Calgary Flames. And what's Matthew Tkachuk going to get? I mean, he's making more than Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. The fact that the cap is going up and the percentage that's applied to these players, you know, is adjusted because of the cap going up. So, you know, what's Matt Tkachuk going to get? You know, I think he's a minimum $8 million per year player. And I'm sure that they're building a case where he's $9+ million. So then you look at Mitch Marner, you look at Braden Point. Mika Rantanen with the Colorado Avalanche is interesting, but the Colorado Avalanche have a ton of cap space. So I don't think that it's going to be much of an issue beyond having to pay him more than Nate McKinnon's making, you know, with the Colorado Avalanche. So trying times for these teams. I'm telling you guys, whether or not there are offer sheets, I think it's going to be a fascinating offseason because I don't see any way that good players don't leave Toronto. And maybe that applies to Tampa Bay. Maybe it applies to Winnipeg and to Calgary as well. You can't sign these big ticket guys for $9-10+ million and not lose somebody in the process when you're a cap team.
Are you starting to doubt the Leafs? You know, I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah.
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 A little bit.
A lot of people up there questioning whether or not that first round series against the Bruins is going to be a big upset for the Leafs. I mean, basically, what they're down to right now is just battling for home ice, and that's going to be the first round of, I think, that everyone's going to want to watch.
What ingredients do you think they're missing there?
Well, if they don't get out of this funk right now, you know, they're going to be in big trouble in the first round against Boston. I think that goes without saying. What are they missing? I mean, when your backup goaltender, in this case, Garrett Sparks, comes out and says you're lacking emotion, that's a pretty big indictment from a guy who probably shouldn't be saying that, in my opinion. I mean, you look for that from your leadership core. You look for that from Morgan Riley or John Tavares or, you know, Austin Matthews, Patrick Marleau, who's been around the game forever. But for the backup goalie to come out and say the team lacks emotion, I mean, that's fairly telling. And I think it's very accurate. The blue line in Toronto is taking a ton of heat in this market, you know, because they're not playing very well. They have injuries. Dermott's out, and Jake Gardner's been out for an extended period of time, and they don't have the reinforcements to come in and fill those shoes. But it's more of a team defense. I mean, their faceoff work hasn't been good of late, and Freddie Anderson isn't as good as he needs to be. So if those things don't change fundamentally, then Toronto's in big trouble moving forward.
I didn't know that Sparks made those comments, but you know what? That might be exactly what the team needs, is a guy like that, unexpected, to kind of say something. A little brutal truth might hurt, but you know, it also can maybe wake you up a little bit too, because maybe the Leafs have just kind of, I don't want to say hit cruise control, but just maybe think they're so dominant that they can win, you know, most nights without even trying.
Yeah, but well, if that's the case, then they're going down in flames, because you look at, you know, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who are on the cusp of clinching the President's Trophy. I mean, they've had a playoff spot locked down for 35 games, yet they compete every shift. I mean, that's how you win a Stanley Cup.
I had a wish list, Dregs. I did it last week or the week before. Five or six things I really wanted to see transpire between now and the end of the season. And Leafs losing in round one was right up there at number one. And listen, this isn't a Leaf Buffalo thing, or this isn't a Leaf. I hate the Leafs. It's, well, I mean, I don't know what it is, but I think it's just, you know, I'm tired of it being called the Mecca. You know what I mean? I think that's top of my wish list, and I don't know why, but I feel like everybody in the hockey world wants nothing more than to not see the Leafs win a Stanley Cup.
I mean, well, look, the bottom line, maybe they're not ready yet. You know, maybe from an experience perspective, they're not mentally strong enough to contend for a Stanley Cup yet. And maybe they will be next year. Maybe they will be the year after that. But a lot can change. A lot can happen in the playoffs, as we know.
Can the Pens get back there with Malkin on week to week?
That's a tough one, man. Yeah, the answer in short is, of course, they can, you know, given the experience that they have. But, you know, that's a troubling loss when you see he is out week to week. But, you know, it looks like Matt Murray's been playing better of late, and collectively as a team, they've been playing better of late. So they'll find a way. I mean, they've got the intestinal fortitude to do it, but not having Malkin, you know, as your number two is a difficult one, to be sure.
Name the coach that got fired that made this quote. "We're in no hurry right now," he said. "We'll see how things transpire in the offseason. I think we'll have to think about it, and we'll see." Any idea whose quote that was? That was Joel Quenneville on whether we should expect to see him return behind a bench next year.
Yeah, he's going to be on a bench next year. I don't think that there's any way. I think what's most intriguing is where. And what I know of Joel Quenneville, and I'd put Alain Vigneault, who's also out there to some degree waiting. I mean, these guys have lots of money, so it's about recharging and enjoying the time away. Those are proven coaches, certainly Joel Quenneville, and I don't think he's jumping into just any opportunity. Maybe an up-and-coming team like the Philadelphia Flyers might intrigue him enough to go to that low-end side of things, but I think that Joel Quenneville is looking for a closing opportunity, and I don't know where that is. I mean, could it be Toronto? I don't know. I mean, let's see what happens if things really go south with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You wonder about Edmonton. Yeah. You wonder about having Connor McDavid. No. That was a quick head shake, Dregs.
There's just too much work there that needs to get done. I mean, unless I'm reading Joel wrong, and I don't think I am, and the people that he talks to, his buddies, say, you know, his next job is going to be going to a team where they're real close, or they're a legit Stanley Cup contender. And the Edmonton Oilers are light years away from that.
Darren Dreger, awesome as always. Look forward to chatting with you on Friday at 11:30 as well. Thanks for your time today.
Okay, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Dregs. That's it with Dregs for today. We'll get him back on Friday. We'll look at the Sabres week ahead coming back here. Final segment on the Instigators, what they have coming up, and what we might think. Final segment of this show today, WGR 550 and MSG. Marty's in tomorrow, JR on Wednesday, and maybe a couple good guests for you on Thursday. Right back here in a few minutes.
Hockey talk that hits. This is the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
It's 11:52. told you we'd look ahead at the Sabres' schedule for the week. They have two games in the week. I mean, I don't think you want to include next Monday in that, right? So between now and Sunday, they will play Toronto on Wednesday. So I would expect a nice heated matchup there. And then they have they're in Montreal on Sunday. So
not too
I'm sorry,
extremely.
On Saturday. Saturday.
Two extremely difficult games. Toronto Maple Leafs right now are playing terrible hockey. They are not sharp whatsoever. You have the backup goaltender shooting his mouth off, saying that what was this quote?
Sparksy. He's trying to spark the team. Sparksy.
Yeah. Not good. He just needs to be quiet and be happy that he's there. Listen, I mean, each and every game for the Sabres is going to be a tough battle. Teams are playing for different reasons. And you know what? If they can continue to show the energy and the spark that they did in this last game against St. Louis, this is exactly what you want to see out of the Sabres.
I would imagine there will be some Leaf fans in the house for that one. So another spirited crowd.
Yep.
With the back and forth between it, you know, that, I love the rivalry. I mean, and it's growing too. What do you, you know, we talk about it all the time. What do you need for teams to be a true rivalry? Both teams to be good. Leafs are good right now. Sabres are getting better, but there's spoiler. We talk about spoiler.
Yep.
Bruins can get home ice advantage if they finish above the Leafs. That's going to be the playoff series. So Leafs can strip Sabres can strip 2 points of the Leafs on Wednesday night. Marty in tomorrow. We're back 10 to noon, WGR 550 and MSG. One Bills Live next.